This is Rayson. I greet you. I am the science officer for the magisterial mission that is coming very quickly to your rancho. By the time you hear this, it may be too late to say it will be coming. It may be that it has come. We aren't sure. The transmitter has asked us to talk more about automatons so that you understand a little bit more than you did when you heard the first tape. I am speaking through Ron Besser, the transmitter, and today is the 23rd of December, 2014, at 4 p.m., York, Pennsylvania. In our discussions, we have often spoken of the automaton as being the ultimate source of energy in the universe. It is not the only source, but it is the primary source your rancher will use for its transportation, for its many homes, for industry, and for many other things you have not even thought about yet as your civilization grows and becomes greater than the one you currently have. I love speaking through this transmitter because he has the vocabulary at hand to explain some very difficult concepts that I would have a problem with another transmitter as I used in the past. I wish to look at a certain aspect of the automaton for you to use your imagination when I talk about it. If you could see an automaton, which you can't, even the microscopes that you use today are not fine enough to see an automaton. If you could see one, it would look a little bit like a brown purse. It is not a rectangle, but a rounded oval that is slightly extended in the east-west direction and the north-south direction is shorter. This brown-looking purse is pockmarked and full of undulations. That is because an automaton, to get to time and space, must travel through a fiery entrance point from Havona. Now, Havona has space, but the ultimate origin of an automaton is from Nether Paradise. Beneath the immense material organization we call Paradise is the bottom flat part where an entity we call the unqualified absolute works. The unqualified absolute is essentially a major domo. It deals with what must be made in a universe, supplies the energy, and then allows the automaton to go out and form matter. When I say this, matter, of course, is made up of electrons, neutrons, positrons, and so on down the line. But what you don't understand is that the electron and the positron and the neutron and all of the others are made up of selected automatons that run around their axis in different and varying speeds so that what they do becomes a part of the atom itself. A positron has an axis that spins counterclockwise about 4,000 times faster than an electron. The formation of an electron, which spins around on its axis, in a counterclockwise direction is made up of 100 automatons. It takes a peculiar and particular type of automaton to form an electron. An electron must use automatons that spin counterclockwise. Positrons, on the other hand, form positrons by using automatons that spin clockwise. I want you to understand that the business of subparticles is immensely complicated, and it is full of drama, and it is full of things that you may not know yet. And that's because the Father has seen to it that not all power is given to a human on an evolutionary planet like Urantia. My mother, who happens to be the Eternal Son, asked me one day when I was studying science, "What is it that you really like to do with science?" And I, Rayson, said, "Teach it. I love it." Ron characterizes my teaching like a wonderful soap opera with the cataclysms of subparticles behaving badly with each other, and the fact that atoms and molecules also behave badly with each other depending on what constituent parts they have. For instance, a neutron in the center of an atom stays a neutron about 1/1,000,000th of a second. It then becomes a positron for about 2/1,000,000th of a second. And then it becomes a neutron again. And then it becomes something else, which we have never discussed in any Urantia science books. This change of state is essential to keep the atom balanced. If this change of state did not happen, the atom would fly apart. Yes, we recognize there are the strong forces and the weak forces, the so-called nuclear forces, but these are not operating inside the atom quite that way as a neutron or positron or something else. When the Father designed matter, He separated it from life, and we therefore have two absolutes on paradise that control life and then matter. Life is controlled by the Eternal Son, and that which is in potential of living is controlled by the Deity Absolute. The other side of the equation is that matter is separated from life, and we call this area of creation non-deified. Deity doesn't have anything to do with the creation of matter except to control it. Who creates it is the unqualified absolute. This entity, and he's not a person, although we use the pronoun he, we should use the pronoun it. It is not a person, but it is responsive to the Paradise Father. Now, the Paradise Father sits in the Paradise Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit as one. Beneath the Trinity is a mechanism that goes clear to nether paradise, perhaps 500 million of your miles. It touches the ring of creation on nether paradise. And this creation is where the automatons are built. These tiny little sparks of energy come forth from the unqualified absolute and are injected into the near space between the ring of the secret planets of the Father and paradise itself. When these little pre-automaton packets arrive in this peculiar space position near paradise, the paradise trinity already knows he was going to do that. So they look for them, and they have the ability to draw them into the trinity presence. Now, this is amazing. The paradise trinity pulls them into their personal abodes. And each one is examined. Its probity means, is it built right? Does it run right? Does it know what it has to do? Sometimes the unqualified absolute doesn't get them out all perfectly. And when they find an imperfect pre-automaton, they cast it back out, and it is absorbed by the unqualified absolute and rebuilt. Matter, therefore, is built upon a divine exaltation of energy. It comes forth from the unqualified absolute and stands before the paradise trinity. And when the trinity finds its probity right, it stamps it with a paradise number. Each automaton that floats in space and time has a number. Its number is equivalent to 130 million digits of paradise language, symbols, and numbers. No one has ever figured out the system. However, the paradise trinity says it's easy if you know the paradise trinity. It's easy if you know how to number an automaton. And we smile with Ron on that because he hears it as enormous. When the Trinity is done numbering them, it sends each one of them out in a packet of 10,000 million. That is how we talk about them. These packets of automatons that are sent from the Trinity through the highways of Havona into the ring of gravity spheres that have been told to you in the Urantia book that circulate around Havona and hide it from time. These automatons must enter several gates, and in each gate they are examined for their number and their purpose. Now let's go back and look at the case the automaton appears in. Lifted up the top of the case. What you see inside are two elongated rods. These rods glow blue, and they glow. They're alive. This is plasma. Each automaton carries two rods. Most of them are blue when they come into time-space. But there's always a few that are glowing red. Red automatons are sent back to Havona and for re-examination by the Paradise Trinity, who asks, how did we manage to send out red rods when all we wanted to do was send out blue rods? The answer to that is in the Paradise Trinity, because we do not understand how red rods get mixed up with blue rods. Remember, these are plasma. All we know is that when a red rod shows up in time and space, it is sent back by the authorities to the Paradise Trinity for re-examination. Now let us look at automatons from the point of view of the Paradise Trinity. When they send out an automaton with blue rods, out through Havona, they get their approvals on the outside of Havona. Then they slip into the space streams in great clouds. They drift around in cold space until the Father or the Trinity or the Unqualified Absolute decide they are needed in some part of the universe for building matter. The great mother wheels, the galaxies, are matter that is materialized by the gravity rotation in the center of all those automatons that forces automatons to mate. Now, this isn't sex, but it is the fact that each automaton has 12 strings. Each rod has 6, and between the rods is like a husk that holds an additional rod with a string that binds all of them together when they form, say, an electron. These strings wrap upon each other automaton, wrapping string to string to string. Eventually, they bond so firmly that their individual rotation, counterclockwise, forms the electron. And then the electron can go hunting an atom to join. In my estimation, there are about 10,000 million billion electrons in this tape recorder we are speaking to. It's not a small recorder, but it's not a big one. About 6 inches long and about 5 inches deep. It contains all the electronics needed to record the voice and the transmission I wish to make through Ron. When I do so, the electrons in this tape recorder vibrate. They vibrate to Ron's voice. They vibrate to the atmosphere it is sitting in York. And it hears even muted traffic in the background outside of the window that Ron records in. We are quite certain that the Unqualified Absolute is present within the tape recorder. The Unqualified Absolute is present in all electrons because it is his automatons, blessed by the Trinity. I am Rayson, and I want you to understand that this is a minute portion of what I want to say about automatons. But I'm going to leave that to a later tape. Right now, I wish to turn this over to the Electron Master himself, one called the Deity of the Unqualified Absolute. I am the Deity of the Unqualified Absolute. I am the I Am. And I control all matter. You heard me talk of the great power of the Father. You heard me talk about Megatron. Megatron is part of the Unqualified Absolute when it comes to moving matter. The matter that is made into your planet, Urantia, is so heavy that it constitutes a breach of policy on paradise. It got heavy because all of the life of Urantia was drained from it when Caligastia attempted to change the grid. This grid, which is similar to a girdle around all of Urantia from pole to pole, is full of life forms and energy abilities that feeds those life forms. I am the deity of the unqualified absolute, and I am the I am of Megatron. I, Megatron, have allowed the planet to mature and to become so heavy that we can remove the offending devices and the offending matter that has congregated in portions of Urantia so deep your scientists will never find it. I am Megatron, and I wish to speak to you one way further. Tonight, December 23rd, 2014, all over the world, Christmas will come early. And I will let that statement lie for now. Watch and hear the signs. I wish you a good day. This is Reason. I am here to finalize the tape and to let all of you know that this transmission was monitored by the highest authorities possible on Paradise, Salvington, Edentia, Jerusalem. Even on Urantia, your planet, the deity of the Supreme has sanctioned that this tape shall be shown to all of you shortly. We wish you all a good day and good night. I am Racing.